You go to church. You sing hymns. You consider yourself a good Christian. But something's missing. You're not sure what it is. Have you ever asked yourself, what is it that God really wants from me? You've probably assumed you know what God wants. Love your neighbor. Go to church. Don't cheat on your spouse. Actually, God wants something more from you. A lot more. Do you know what it is? Join us on Beyond Today as we explore God's love language.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Let me share with you an interesting story. A French entomologist, that's a person who studies bugs, conducted an experiment with a kind of caterpillar. These particular caterpillars instinctively follow each other in a line. He was fascinated by the fact that they would march at the same pace in mindless procession. So the scientist took a flower pot and lined up these caterpillars nose to tail around the rim. And in the center of the flower pot, he placed plenty of delectable caterpillar food. Caterpillars immediately began a slow, cadenced march around the rim. Hours and days went by with the bugs, each deliberately following the one in front, who was following the one in front, who was, well, you get the idea. One by one, the caterpillars died of exhaustion and starvation, until they all died, even though food was only a few inches away. Now, here's today's challenge for you. Does this story describe your spiritual life? Are you habitually attending church, mindlessly singing hymns, thinking that you are doing what God really wants, but missing out on a dynamic relationship with your Creator, your God? When we're on today, we want to tell you about a better way, a way of developing a powerful, meaningful relationship with God. The discovery of that better way begins with the teachings of Jesus Christ. A Jewish lawyer came to Jesus and asked, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, this lawyer was a religious man. He studied the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. These lawyers had identified 613 specific laws in the law of Moses. Laws covering everything from murder to marriage to how to dig a latrine. Now, naturally, it was important to determine how to prioritize these laws. This lawyer asked Jesus an interesting question, didn't he? What is the most important principle in the Bible? How would you answer that question? Would you say that the most important biblical teaching is to accept everyone's religion as different paths to God? Is it to treat other people with kindness? Is it to take care of the environment? Now remember, whatever you say is the most important moral principle means that this principle guides all other moral principles. Here's how Jesus answered. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you're like many people, you've been taught that the greatest teaching of Jesus Christ is love your neighbor as yourself. But he said that the greatest moral principle, the principle that forms the foundation of all other moral principles, is to love God. It is possible to love your neighbor and not love God. It is not possible to love God and hate your neighbor. Now, if you're a serious believer, a person who believes in the God of the Bible, then what Jesus Christ says here is of paramount importance to you. You can help your neighbor, be nice to people, volunteer to serve the poor. But do you actually love God? Jesus Christ said that this is the most important principle in the entire Bible. So now you're confronted with the question, how am I supposed to love God? Is loving God an emotional expression of praise? Is loving God simply a matter of obedience? Well, loving God involves all of these actions and more. Can a human being even know how the Creator of the universe wants to be loved? Have you ever even asked yourself, how does God want to be loved? Think about it for a minute. It's selfish to want God's love, God's mercy, God's kindness. but not want to respond to him in love. Marriage counselors talk about human love languages. A love language is a method of explaining the different ways people experience feeling loved. You know, if a person's love language is primarily verbal, then that person desires others to express love through encouraging words. Does God have a love language? I mean, if according to Jesus Christ, the most important principle in the entire Bible is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, the real question we need to ask is, how does God say he wants to be loved? I mean, where would you even start to find God's love language? In the course of human history, there's only one time when God was visibly present to millions of people. Over 3,400 years ago, in a tumultuous cloud with thunder and lightning, the being who said, "Let there be light," and the sun was fashioned, the creator who formed the brilliant design of a dolphin and the delicate design of a butterfly, he appeared on Mount Sinai and thundered out the 10 basic principles of moral actions and moral thinking. We call them the Ten Commandments. Most people believe that the Ten Commandments make up the moral code of Christianity. In reality, a number of the Ten Commandments are either unknown or downright rejected by most Christians. And you know, and this is a great moral tragedy. By rejecting some of the Ten Commandments, many Christians have a form of worship, but their activities, these activities have little to do with the love language of the God they worship. Now, at this point, some of you are saying, "No, wait a minute. I know the commandments and I try to obey them. Honor your parents. Don't murder. I mean, I don't commit adultery. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't covet other people's possessions." That's six of the ten. These are the commandments that help define Jesus' instructions on how to love your neighbor. Jesus said that these commandments begin to define the second great moral priority, how to love your neighbor. But what about Christ's first great moral priority? The priority to love God. The instructions on how to love God are contained in the first four of the Ten Commandments. These commandments help us understand God's love language. If you want a meaningful personal relationship with God, then you must learn to respond to God in the ways that are meaningful to him. Do you even know what are the first four of the Ten Commandments? Well, we're going to briefly look at these commandments and help you take your first steps in discovering God's love language. The first of the Ten Commandments is a very simple concept. "You shall have no other gods before me." That's what God says. What I'm about to say is going to sound shocking in our postmodern, post-Christian, politically correct, everybody's religious ideas is equal society. True Christianity is about loving the only true God and rejecting other gods. The God of the Bible is an exclusive God. In fact, he claims that the gods of ancient paganism don't even really exist. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you have to reject the idea that all religions are just the same path or just the different paths to the same God. I know that isn't very democratic, but it is what the creator of the universe requires from you. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you have to make your relationship with him the center of your life. Interesting enough, it's the next three of the Ten Commandments that explain how to begin to make God the center of your life. Now, before we explore those important principles, the next three commandments, I want to tell you how to get your copy of this incredible booklet, The Ten Commandments. On Beyond Today, we offer this booklet as a free educational service in the public interest. In The Ten Commandments, you will read how the first four of the commandments can help you begin to discover God's love language. Will help you understand your greatest priority in life, how to change your life from profanity to praise, and reap the wonderful blessing of the seventh-day Sabbath. This booklet will help you incorporate all 10 of God's great moral principles into your daily life. This booklet not only helped you understand the Ten Commandments, but you will learn how to apply these moral principles and understand the moral principles behind the Ten Commandments. Go online to beyondtoday.tv and read the Ten Commandments. Or you can get a copy for yourself sent directly to your home. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. And you can follow Beyond Today on Twitter and join us on Facebook. Jesus said that the most important moral principle, the basis of all other moral principles, is to love God. The first four of the Ten Commandments, we begin to discover God's love language, how He wishes to be loved by His children. The first of the commandments simply states that we must reject all other concepts of gods and goddesses, Mother Earth, the New Age idea that somehow all of us are our own God, and accept the Creator God as our Father. We can't mingle all of these religious ideas together. All religions are not different paths to the same God. The only God is an exclusive God. The first commandment tells us to center our lives on the Creator. The next three show us how to begin to make God the center of our lives, the center of your life. The second commandment states, "You shall not make for yourselves any carved image." Many Christians claim to obey the Ten Commandments, but how many churches are filled with statues and images? Worshippers bow down in front of those images in a form of worship. God says that loving Him means that we don't use images in our worship of Him. A personal relationship with God frees us from the need to have images. So why is it that human beings need pictures and statues of God in order to feel connected to Him? Well, one reason why human beings need images and worship is because we confuse faith with superstition. We want to be able to somehow connect to God, have Him fulfill all of our needs, but we don't want to seek His will. In other words, we want God to love us, but we don't want to make the commitment to love Him. In this way, love and faith, meaning trusting God, they're really two sides of the same coin. Let me illustrate what I mean. The Nina was floundering in a storm. The panicked sailors began to pray for deliverance. They bargained with God that if they were saved, one of the crew would make a pilgrimage to a shrine, a statue, an image. They drew lots, and Christopher Columbus was chosen. The storm raged on, and the praying became frantic. In a last-ditch effort, the men decided that if they made it to land, all of them would walk shirtless to the first shrine they found. They thought that if they prayed in front of an image, God would be pleased. Herein lies an important difference between faith and superstition. Superstition is when we believe that if we say the right words, do the proper ritual, pray in front of a shrine or an image, then God is required to do as we ask. Faith is the assurance that God has your best interest in His heart. When you trust God, you can love God. When you love God, you are free from the need for images. God wants you to come directly to Him in a personal relationship, no matter the time or place, without the need for shrines or images. You know, another reason human beings need images to worship God is that we need to bring God down to our level. We begin to frame our love towards God by our own needs and desires. You know, when you study the gods and goddesses of ancient Greece and Rome, you find beings that are reflections of human shortcomings and limitations. They could be cruel, fickle, mean-spirited, and there was no real concept of good and evil. People tried to appease the gods and get what they wanted. Okay, well, here's what you need to do. Get on your knees and ask the real God to help you begin to understand Him as Creator, Father, and Judge. He is the being who spread out the stars, whose wonders are around us every day, who formed you while you were in your mother's womb. Discover the true God. Enter into a relationship with Him, and you will be free from the need for images and worship. The third commandment that helps us understand God's love language is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It is absolutely amazing how careless Christians can be in this area. People use God's name to damn this and that. We proclaim, oh God, every time we're angry or every time something bad happens. I mean, if someone used your name all the time in the most despicable way, and then one day a week saying praises to you, would you believe that person actually meant those praises? I mean, this is a serious question. I want you to think about it. If you're serious about your relationship with God, if someone used your name all the time in the most despicable way, and then one day a week sang praises to you, would you believe that person actually meant those praises? Of course you wouldn't. And yet, isn't this how so many of us treat God? People claim that they love God, but they treat God in ways they would never treat their own friends. It's time to start cleaning up your words. It's time to start loving God by not using His name in vain. Now, the fourth description of God's love language has to do with the time you spend with God. We live in a time-compressed world. Technology is supposed to make our lives easier, create more leisure time. So we purchase microwaves and home computers and riding lawnmowers in order to have more control over our lives. Then, of course, we have to work overtime in order to pay for the time-saving gadgets. We rush to work, rush through meals, rush through conversations. We tear off to a health club to ride a stationary bike. On the weekends, we rush through church services so we can hustle home and spend a few hours relaxing in front of the television, only feel vaguely bored and restless. Time stress affects health, peace of mind, and relationships. We never seem to get everything done. Are you like so many people who are rushing themselves into high blood pressure, chronic tiredness, emotional burnout, and spiritual bankruptcy? The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You need physical, emotional, and you need spiritual rest. To ignore these needs is to sow the seeds of illness, depression, and damaged relationships. Imagine a day devoted to rest. No business calls, no painting the house. Imagine a day with extra time for prayer and worship. That's your personal relationship with God. Imagine a day with extra time to share with your family. No deadlines, no pressing appointments. Imagine a day when you can shut out all the noise and preoccupation with making money. The seventh day Sabbath is a time to renew your relationship with God and experience rest for your body, your mind, your spirit. The concept of the big biblical Sabbath is not a ritualistic obligation to participate in a once a week hour of worship, but it is a day dedicated to revitalizing your relationship with God in both private and communal worship. The Sabbath is to be a time of physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal. So now you can just begin. We're just scratching the surface. You can begin to understand God's love language. He wants us to reject all religious ideas that don't proclaim Him as the only true God. He wants us to remove images as a means of worship. Instead, He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants us to stop using His name in vain. He wants us to celebrate every seventh day as a special day of worship and physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal. Now we're going to discuss these four aspects of God's love language and how you can apply them to your life with our Beyond Today panel. But first I want to remind you how to get your free copy of our booklet, The Ten Commandments. We will also send you a free subscription to The Good News Magazine. Now, if you're looking for answers to life's most important questions, this magazine is for you. The Good News is a bi-monthly publication available at no cost. And every issue, you'll find articles on subjects like marriage and family, what the Bible teaches about the most vital questions in your life, how to make sense of today's confusing world news, and God's amazing plan for humanity and for you personally, and how you can learn about God's love language. Go online to beyondtoday.tv to read the Good News or order your free subscription, or we'll send it right to your house. You can call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. And you can follow Beyond Today on Twitter and join us on Facebook. We've been joined by a fellow Beyond Today host, Steve Myers and Darius McNeely, to discuss this concept of God's love language. How would you describe even this idea of God's love language?
Well, Gary, I think when you look at the statement that says that we are to love God with all of our heart and our mind and our being, to love God then and then that way means to go along a prescribed path by design, the design that God has for the relationship that he wants with us, and it has very strict settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's a good word. This word relationship, that God wants a relationship with us. He's not just somewhere off in the universe that we can't have a personal relationship with him. So when you talk about a love language, it's how we relate. And God wants to be related to. He wants to be loved. He wants to be worshipped. And he wants us to have that close relationship with him.
So when I look at the Ten Commandments, the first four tell us how to begin to have this relationship with God. So let's look at the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. How can we put that principle into actual action?
I think it is best done by putting away anything that comes between us in a relationship with God. Today we don't like the word idolatry. We relate that to perhaps something in the ancient world where people bowed down before an idol, a stone or a wooden idol. And we're too modern for that. We don't have idols today, but the reality is we do. We worship the self. We worship status. We worship money. We worship celebrity. We worship things. And when we do that, we're committing idolatry. Anything then that becomes a barrier between us and God the Creator inhibits our relationship with him and our ability to love him as he wants us to love him, to understand the fullness of his purpose.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it really comes down to priority. What's important for us? And the way we spend our money, what we use it for, the things we buy, all of that then can become that idol if we're not careful. So what's most important? What do we center our life on? What is most important to you?
When you talk about what's important, the next commandment says, you shall make of yourselves no graven images. Why is that important to God that he would say that?
Because God is spirit. God is invisible. God cannot be seen by the naked eye, the physical eye. He is not physical. And anytime we take something that is physical, part of the physical world created by God, and then impose that as God in some way to try to create an image in our mind's eye of what God is like, we're going to ultimately look to that more than we are to God as he intends in his spiritual realm, because then we will become worshiping the creation rather than the Creator.
Well, that's a great point, because when you look at who makes the images, well, we make an image. Are we following what the Bible says? God says, don't make any images. So I wonder, when you go to church, are there images in your congregation? Do you look around the building? Do you see little icons? Do you see images that do not represent what God says? Is that right?
Now, this brings us to that third point of God's love languages, or love language, is that you shouldn't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I'm amazed how many Christians absolutely ignore this.
Yeah, the commandment to not take God's name in vain is more than just using God's name in an expletive, in a curse, although that's wrong and certainly should not be a part of our language. But the reality is, if you call yourself a Christian and don't obey the teachings and the commandments and the way of life set by Jesus Christ, then you are taking the name of God, Jesus Christ, in vain by not living up to the standards, the principles by which God defines that relationship. It's been said by many people that so many fail to live up to that Christian standard and the plain and simple teachings of the Bible from Jesus Christ's own words, and therefore fail the test of Christianity.
Yeah, that's an incredibly powerful statement. To claim to be a Christian and not be a Christian is taking Christ's name in vain.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sometimes we forget to put it on its simplest terms. I mean, I don't like to be called names. I don't want my name used uselessly in vain. So why would we ever think of using the Creator's name in vain?
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, it doesn't
incredibly
make sense.
Disrespectful. Now that brings us to the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. Why is it that so many people either just ignore this or even deny this commandment, which actually describes one of God's love languages? I mean, a day to spend with our Creator.
You ever hear the phrase, time is money? We think that we own time. God says that He owns time. He gives us the 6 days of time to live our lives by. And He says, one day is my time. Come to me, worship me, love me on that day, mm-hmm. on that time. But we don't want to do that because we think we own all time. We've become gods in our own image. And as a result, we cannot even wrap our minds around the concept that God claims 24 hours out of every week as His time, and upon which we are to worship Him.
Yeah, sometimes we don't think about the fact that we show who our God is by how we worship and when we worship. God says worship on the Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath. And so are we showing that that Creator God is our God by following what He said?
And when you worship God on the Sabbath and you have a right relationship with Him, I guarantee you it's going to help you worship Him the other 6 days. You know, because what you do on that day and that relationship affects the other 6 days. Now, don't forget our free offers on today's program, the Ten Commandments booklet. And when you order the Ten Commandments, we will send you a 1-year subscription to the Good News Magazine. Go online to beyondtoday.tv to order your free subscription, or you can read it right there online, or call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. Now write this down, 1-888-886-8632. And of course, you can follow us here in Beyond Today on Twitter and join us on Facebook. The Creator of the universe has given you life. He loves you so much that He sacrificed His Son for your sins. Jesus Christ is returning to gather God's children, those who love God. God wants a personal relationship with you, but a relationship is a two-way street. God has shown you His love. How do you love God? Remember the four aspects of God's love language. Keep Him first in your life. Worship Him in spirit and truth, not with images and idols. Be careful not to use His name in vain. And delight in the day He has set apart to spend special time with you. Join us next week as we help you discover God's way. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.